What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Good morning, Millennials. Welcome back to the Morning Toast. Happy Monday. It has been a minute since we've seen you guys. Welcome. Hello, Jacqueline. How are you?
I'm great. How are you? You're the one who was off globetrotting this weekend.
It was an international tour, yes.
You were all around the world.
Yes, I had the first official three shows of, oh my, I almost said the DJT. No, N-Log.
N-Log.
And I'm wearing my Not Like Other Girls sweatshirt because...
Spoiler alert, she's not like other girls.
Thank you, Jackie. Took the words right out of my mouth. All available at shopmorningtoast.com. We've got koozies, beanies, sweatshirts. We're selling merch at shows. Limited merch. Only two or three styles. We've got about six or seven on shopmorningtoast.com.
Wait, so you know what? I want to show everyone my favorite piece of merch. Hold on.
Oh my God, you're getting up for it too?
I am.
You guys, I didn't even ask her to do this.
No, because that's how cute it is.
Okay, I agree. I designed this one with a very specific like inspo in mind. It's a t-shirt. These are what ones are being sold at the show, but there's more
like,
sizes.
If I were going to the N-Log tour and I wanted to buy merch to wear to the show, it would be this t-shirt like with thigh high boots.
Oh, that's cute. So it's giving Selena, it's giving early 2000s like Jonas Brothers. I wanted to do like a vintage concert t-shirt, and that's exactly what I did. The dates are on the back.
I didn't know you performed at the Queen Elizabeth Theater this weekend.
Yes, I
did. How prestigious.
No, it's my second time there, and it's a fabulous theater.
I didn't
really
know.
Really gorgeous.
I didn't know that they were honoring Queen Elizabeth in such a way.
Yes, I was in the Commonwealth this weekend, right? Canada?
Queen,
right?
Yeah.
So I was at the Queen Elizabeth Theater. Yeah, it was great. I mean, Minneapolis, Detroit, Toronto. Do you know how relieved I am to just have this first leg behind me? Just, I have these shows under my belt and now I have like this confidence because I've been dreaming of sitting here today. Like I've been envious of the girl who's sitting here.
And she's not like other girls.
And she has this experience behind her. And it was better than I could have imagined.
Well, yeah, just to toot your horn, because I think it's different when it's someone else. But like the fanfare I was seeing online, the chatter online, everyone had the greatest time. I heard from like friends of friends, and then also the toasters that like people were just immensely enjoying themselves, like laughing at the jokes, like as they fell asleep at night, like which is
That's so funny. That's so nice.
Which is like when you know something
that's exactly
truly
what you want.
Funny, and so I think it was a smash success.
Yeah, I feel really good. You know, it's a lot of work, like going out, and especially like I fly in the morning of a show and then I fly out the next morning. So I get no sleep. I had to go through the border. It was like really kind of torture travel. And you know me, I have such a low threshold for anything even remotely like inconvenient. But I found myself like not being bothered so much by the torture, which is so unlike me. You know?
I think it's because you haven't had the privilege of traveling and being tortured in so long.
No, that's not it. I really sat and thought about it on the way home as I like cried on the airplane. I'm like, why was this weekend different from all the other weekends? And I think I've had so much anxiety about this tour and like a lot of self-doubt. Like what I accomplished on the DJT for me was like a far off fantasy and it will never happen again. And I really thought that like, it was imposter syndrome. Like I really thought I wasn't going to be able to do it.
You thought you were a one hit wonder.
I really did. Like I told all my good stories at the DJT and nothing else has happened to me. And when I was doing the shows, I felt very strong and confident in myself, in my material. And I really felt like for the first time, it's going to be so lame, but like, I just really felt like I was exactly where I was supposed to be, like doing what I was supposed to do, being who I was supposed to be, and like killing it on all fronts. And it just felt like, how can one be miserable when you're in that headspace?
Claudia,
you know,
that's beautiful.
Thank you. To quote the DJT,
I look forward to seeing the N-Log tour so that I have new material to quote you with.
Yeah, no, I mean, I keep sending you videos, but I really want you to experience it the first
time. And it sounds like what you gave Minneapolis, Detroit, and Toronto was everything and different from the prep shows.
Yes. The show constantly evolves. I'm really a great improver, but you can't go on stage in front of a thousand people.
It's not a plan.
Yeah, you can't just go up and like, I'm going to improv. I wish I could, because I think my improv is sometimes better than my written jokes. And some of the best moments in shows are just totally off the cuff. Mm-hmm. But you can't plan for that, you know? So you got to have like good bones of a show. But yeah, it's easy to ad lib in Toronto, you know, like, because the people are just weird and different. Like, you're literally in a different country, which I always fucking forget. No. Like, you know, they don't know the song Education Connection.
Really?
In Toronto.
Even though it played on the N?
They didn't, like, it's different channels. It's a different country.
I associate with Degrassi. I would assume that they know better than all of us.
Yeah, but they didn't watch Degrassi on the N. They watched it on, like, their channel.
Right.
So it was just, like, different cultural things. But it was great. I'm very grateful to everyone who came out. I'm very excited for the next 6 months. And I'm also very excited to have, like, a little bit of a break.
Well, we're excited for you. We are glad that you're back. We have a strong 2 weeks ahead of us. And then, you guys, it is the season. Our last show of the year will be December 17th. And so I always feel like these 2 weeks of the year are some of our, like, best. Like, this was, like, Dachshund week. Mm. This was Robert Flatts. Like, this...
Rascal.
This is always a great time of year.
Yeah.
And so I'm just really excited to... get like for the rest what the rest of the year holds.
Yeah, I think like everyone has that mentality towards the end of the year where they're just like, fuck it, like nothing that happens really this week like matters, and so we're just throwing caution to the wind.
Yeah, so we have so much to discuss today.
Wait, but you also had an exciting weekend. I think you should share.
I did. I had a very busy weekend for a not busy girly. So on Saturday, I actually shot a little something fun that you may or may not see
depending at some point,
depending on how it comes out. But no, I took a little maternity pics. And I think they're going to,
I think they're going to turn out beautiful.
Yeah, I went somewhere that was like totally, you know, it's.
Maternity house.
Soup to nuts. Like, they have it all covered and they made me feel so comfortable. And like, they have all of the different looks and everything. So I really didn't have to, you know, muster anything up on my own. So we'll see. It'll be a few weeks before I like get the pictures back. But that was.
Did you do any nudies?
You'll have to wait and see.
I'm so excited. I hope you like them because I really want you to be able to share them.
Yeah. So TBD, but that was like a fun experience. And, you know, everybody told me that I should do it. And I think a lot of, you know, especially when you're pregnant for the first time, a lot of women do it. So I would recommend it. It was a pleasant experience, except like it's very laborious on your body when you're, you know, already breaking down.
Uh-huh.
So when I got home, I was broken. Broken. It was crazy. And then yesterday I had my closet organizers come over twice as organized. Zoe and Michaela, they're two sisters, and they did such an amazing job. And
I'm so jealous.
It's given me a new joie de vivre.
For the apartment.
And like, I wore a different shirt today than I've been wearing for last month because I saw a different shirt.
I feel that 100%.
See a shirt, wear a shirt.
No, that's the philosophy, but the hard part is the seeing.
Right, but they take care of that. So thank you, girly girls. It was really enjoyable. So it was a very productive weekend. I read a lot this weekend. I finished the book I was reading, which was The Hearts Invisible Furies by John Boyne, which was so good. Like, it was a masterpiece. It was extremely in-depth and involved and long AF, but worth every second and just a wonderful prose.
You know what? I have to thank you for something.
Oh,
I do.
Who, for me?
Okay, so this was my first time like being on like a long leg of tour that I haven't had a Kindle and like was really into reading. I don't think I read one morsel of anything. I used to just like scroll my phone on the long flights and the long like hours in the dressing room. But I read two books this weekend, and the time, like, I got to my Detroit dressing room like 6 hours early, and I just, it zoomed by. It was really such a joy. Thank you for giving me your Kindle, not even making me pay for it. Like, you just handed it over. And thank you for opening my eyes to the world of literature, because I read two amazing books. I read the Something Blue, Something Borrowed series because I had watched Something Borrowed. I'm like, this movie is so good. And then everyone's like, the book is better. So I was like, do I need to really read the first book in the series if I've seen the movie 6,000 times? And you know what? I did, but you do not have to. But the book was really good. But it's verbatim, the movie. It's actually crazy.
That's like, great.
Like conversations like to a T. Mm. And then I read Something Blue, the sequel, and I finished it yesterday. And it was the cutest book I'd ever read in my life. And I don't know why they never made the sequel.
That's frustrating.
Because everyone's like, Something Blue is better. And you know what? Book-wise, it was better.
Oh my God, I'm feeling tempted to
read it. It was so cute. And you know what? I liked that I'd seen the movie before because Darcy was in it. Rachel wasn't really in it. Ethan was in it. And I was like, John Krasinski. Like, yeah. Marcus was in it. So I like knew the characters, what they looked like. And it was fun to visualize.
Yeah.
So I really, it's like so late, but they have to make a movie.
I think they might have missed the boat.
Me too.
But that's frustrating. I wonder why they didn't. Maybe the first one didn't
do. No, the first one is a cult classic.
But like maybe it didn't perform.
I think it really performed well. It's like so many. It's one of my like top 10 favorite movies.
It is really good.
And even though I despise Jennifer Goodwin, she couldn't even ruin it.
Is it Jennifer Goodwin or is it Jennifer Goodwin?
No, it's Jennifer.
No, I don't know that it is.
It's not?
I think it's someone who looks a lot like her.
No, Jackie, I'm telling you, it's 100% Jennifer Goodwin.
Hold on. Let me just something.
I'm telling you, I know it is.
Cast. I just need to make sure. Oh, yeah.
Damn. It's Jennifer Goodwin, yeah.
Damn.
So even she couldn't ruin the movie for me. And it was just so good. And I love that movie. And it was such a joy to read the books. It really was. Oh, and I'm trying to read. Okay, so you made me really cognizant of my reading challenge, which like I wish I didn't. So I'm trying to get to 30. I'm at 25. I think I can do it.
You will do it. Plus with vacation time, like all we do is read.
So yeah.
That'll be good. And then I also started yesterday The Rose Code, which is a historical fiction book.
Yeah. I got like a Goodreads email update about you.
And everybody has been telling me to read it, and it's also like nominated for like historical fiction of the year. It's like the book, and it is really good. And there's like a little Prince Philip in there, but I don't know how like if it is based in reality whatsoever. Like, did he ever date Ozla? I don't know. I don't want to Google it because I don't want a spoiler.
Yeah.
But just like Philip, R.I.P.
Oh, right. Too soon.
Yeah, it was like the girl that he was dating before he like
the ballerina.
Before he got wifed up.
Got it. Ballerina was during.
The girl he was dating during World War II.
Got it. Wow, that's so crazy that Prince Philip was alive and he was alive during World War II.
Yeah.
That is so crazy. So we have a great show. We've got the Fast Five and there was a lot to discuss. We also have a TV recap. Real Housewives of Salt Lake City was on last night. I watched a little bit of Coming Out, Colton, and I got to talk about it.
You do. And now at which point should I share my Annie Live thoughts?
Oh my God, okay. I don't know. What do you think?
I feel like right now, because it sounds like I'm going to give a recap, I just need to give major commendations to everyone in the cast and the crew, because it was as good as it could possibly have been for like a live show, NBC Live, and like considering some of what we've seen, which has been tragedy. Like, I do have some notes, but overall, but even with my notes, I would say it was a 10 out of 10. Like, it was fantastic. I thought everybody like carried their weight. Everybody did a really good job. No one was cringe. I mean, major shout out to the campers. The orphans gave us everything. They left it all on the soundstage. Mm. It was incredible to watch them. Like they did not stop. I was so, those were the best scenes. Like Hard Knock Life, Never Fully Dressed Without a Smile. Like the campers were knocking it out of the park.
So I obviously had a show the night of that, Minneapolis. Thank you everyone who didn't stay at home to watch Annie Live and came to see. And then I was like, you know what? I'll watch it on the plane or whatever. And then I was like, you know what? Annie Live is like a cinematic event. Mm-hmm. I don't want to just rush it on an iPad. Like, I need to be at home. I need to have my vibes cultivated. I should make a chili.
Yeah.
So I decided to
Annie
wait.
Annie loves chili.
I decided to wait.
Okay, well, one thing you're not going to like about it was that it was far too long.
Ooh.
It was 3 hours.
I'll watch it without commercials. It'll be like 2:30.
There were so many songs and scenes that they were clearly just doing like to drag it out, sell more commercials. Wendy's was doing spots like in the retro 1932 vibe, which was cool. It was like
Annie's in 1932?
Yeah.
A classic.
Yeah, no, it's like Depression era and, you know, FDR. Mm. And Annie inspired the New Deal. Good to know. It's like Sav is so cute. I love her. She did.
She's so cute.
So it was far too long. They incorporated like songs from the different movies because like they did NYC, which is from the first movie, but like they didn't do Let's Go to the Movies, which is from the second movie.
Oh.
Because they don't both movies. So they picked and choose from each movie. Which
but Let's Go to the Movies is a good one.
I know. But you know what? NYC is really iconic. And like, I don't know if anybody else feels this way, but the woman who sang 3 bucks, 2 bags, 1 me, she had like one verse. Star.
Who do you think performed the best? Like Harry, Nicole Scherzinger?
Okay, this is going to be so... I thought everybody did an amazing job. And maybe because of like my expectations for certain people, I felt most blown away by Nicole Scherzinger.
I heard that.
She was Grace. Like
I heard that.
To a T. She's such a performer. They all were such performers. So I'm not taking away from anyone else. But like the singing, the dancing. They gave her one of... in one of the movies, Grace has her own song that Zach like can't stop singing around the house.
Really?
It's not even like a real song. It's just like her like dancing around saying, "We got Annie."
That's funny.
He'll like, probably, like pop in the kitchen. Out of the kitchen. We got Annie. which it's not a big enough song for her, but they clearly wanted her to have a moment because like she's an incredible dancer and singer. And I'm glad that she had a moment, but it wasn't even big enough for her, but she was just so elegant, and like you didn't feel like you're watching Nicole Scherzinger.
Right.
I'm just watching Grace. So I felt that way about everyone, really. Like, no, even Harry Connick Jr., I know everyone's like coming for his bald cap, mm-hmm. but like we need to move on.
They're
from
literally
it.
Coming for his head.
They're coming for his head. We need to move on from the bald cap. But when I was watching, I didn't feel like, oh, here's Harry Connick Jr., you know, devoting his time to a little community theater.
Right.
I just felt like he was part
Daddy
of the
Warbucks.
Show. So I really like that. I thought Titus was amazing. Like,
Titus is a star.
Titus was just a perfect, like, he was perfect. Taraji P. Henson was really good. I felt like on the acting stuff, she had Hannigan down to a T, but she's not really a singer. So when she was singing, I was like, will she hit this note, that note?
Right.
And she did.
Okay.
And everything went well. And Megan Hilty, who stepped in for Jane Krakowski. I would have loved to see Jane Krakowski, but Megan Hilty is clearly a Broadway vet. And
she is.
I think she came in 2 days before, learned every line, learned every step.
Yeah, I have no concerns about her.
A plus.
Okay, good.
So everyone did their jobs and did them well. And now I have to talk about Annie. She was so cute. And I didn't see any mess ups. Like, she really
Nailed it.
She really, really did. Her voice, in the beginning, I was like, when they started with Maybe, which is a tough song.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I don't know if Annie Live is going to be for me. But then it, like, Hard Knock Life, it just, like, really turned around. I thought she was so good. She was so professional. And she had some scenes with Sandy, and I was, like, getting nervous because I was like, what if Sandy's, like, fuck off?
No, that's true. They had a real dog?
They had a real dog. But then there was only one scene with Sandy in the movie, and I do feel like it was pre-recorded because they did say
good.
Portions are pre-recorded because we didn't need to see Sandy going rogue.
And let's not torture the dogs, like.
And no, and we didn't need to see Sandy going rogue and running away. That would fuck up the whole storyline.
100%.
But, like, then Sandy was, like, MIA the rest of the show, and Brew was upset because he was promised Sandy.
That's true.
But then when they were doing all the cast bows and stuff, she, like, really, like, brought Sandy over. It was so cute.
That is so cute. She, you know, her parents must be so proud of her. Like,
oh, my God. It was an amazing feat. And everything, there was a few sound issues. There was a few, like, shots where the camera was just, like, showing
rogue.
Someone's back. But, like, overall,
That's live.
I would say that my only other critique was, like, there were some musical numbers that were just, like, the backup dancers. Like, when it was I think I'm gonna like it here, or even NYC, they go see a show, and I felt like the show that they were seeing, it could have been bigger, better, more razzle dazzle, like more dancing, and it was a little bit lackluster. So I would have liked more dancing.
Okay.
Would be my critique, but it was better than I could have ever than I thought it was gonna
like,
be.
Like, I think, like, the hype that we gave Annie Live, like,
it wasn't enough.
We weren't, like, overdoing it. Like,
no,
I think for a while we were doing it satirically. But now they really prove themselves.
Like, I thought it was going to be good, but still, like, a little cringe, as all lives are. There was really no cringe.
Love that. I'm so, like, looking forward to watching it in a peaceful, gorgeous, cultivated environment.
Yeah.
And I will give my thoughts as well. I just didn't want to, like, watch it just to watch it and, like, torture myself.
Yeah, no, you should enjoy it. You're definitely going to have to skip a lot because there was a lot of extraneous scenes.
Fodder.
But overall, I'm just so happy that, you know, we put our time into this thing and we got out what we put in.
Because that never happens.
No. Never.
Never,
so congratulations to, and whoever was, like, running the show, the whole sound stage, like, the setup, it worked beautifully. Everyone, 10 out of 10, good job, everyone. We needed that.
We did, as a society. Annie Live was necessary.
Yeah, and it's just such a great story.
A tale as old as time, truly.
Truly.
Okay, so I will watch that, but in the meantime,
now I feel ready.
I feel definitely somewhat ready. As ready as a gal can be who's having dry mouth.
To dive into the Fast Five stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast. You want water?
And today's episode, no, okay. Actually, yeah, I would love some water. How old is this?
You can have Wednesday's water.
Thick.
Water.
Today's episode is brought to you by Olive & June. The Manny system is the answer to salon-perfect nails at home. The Olive & June nail polish lasts over 7 days, and it doesn't chip. With the Olive & June Manny system, each at-home manicure comes out to just $2 per manicure. And we have a unique offer code for you guys to check out the Manny system. It comes with everything you could possibly need to do your nails at home. Amazing cuticle oil that I literally am obsessed with. Nail files, gorgeous polishes that are so long lasting. And they have this, like, really cute silicone topper that goes on top of their nail polish bottles, which really just steadies your hand. It makes it really easy to paint your own nails if you're not great at it, which I am not, but I found a lot of success with the Manny system. It's five steps. It comes with that patented brush handle, which is called a poppy. And the most important part is the affordability. The Mani system comes with six polishes, and it breaks down to $2 a manicure. And you might be used to spending over $30 for one manicure at a salon, so now's the time. And we've got 20% off your first Mani system when you use code TOAST. So your new nail life is here. Get that 20% off your first Mani system when you use promo code TOAST at oliveandjune.com. Again, that's oliveandjune.com, promo code TOAST for 20% off.
Great. Okay. Our first story came out this weekend that Tristan Thompson is expecting his third child with personal trainer Marilee Nichols of Houston, Texas, according to a paternity lawsuit. So, you guys, and the baby might have been born between then and now, but it's unclear what's going on.
It's very unclear because she also posted something on Instagram that people revealed. She posted a picture of a baby and it was a stock photo.
No, but it also, I don't think it was her account. I think it was a fake account.
Oh.
So it's all very unclear whether or not the baby has been born. But what we do know is that Tristan got another girl pregnant in March when he
allegedly
when he was dating Chloe, and that he offered her $75,000 in hush money after she became pregnant while he was dating Chloe.
That's terrible.
So yeah, there's text messages. This story is like so messy. It's honestly so Tristan, and it's like
I'm embarrassed.
We've known Tristan. It's like Tristan showed us who he was so many times, and I guess I just didn't believe him, you know?
No, I feel as though we have been majorly duped, especially like that image revamp they did for him on Keeping Up.
But like
I believed it.
I believed it too, and I was really like, there was a little ship out for me, Chloe and Tristan. I was like, you guys, we have to give them another chance. We even like were talking about them, and we were just here for it. And I don't know why we thought like this man could change when he cheated on her, having another child, and then also like acting in a way towards this woman that is
right
so wrong.
I don't know what the worst part about this is. Is it the infidelity, or it's literally offering a woman you got pregnant $75,000 to shut up? Like,
yeah,
that's horrible.
He was also saying how like he's going to be out of the NBA soon, so he's going to be unemployed. So if she's expecting child support and like that she's going to live off the land, that, you know, she has another thing coming, so this $75,000 should look pretty good to her.
Yeah, that was really embarrassing, that part. Like his text messages that were screenshotted and like used as evidence, he literally was like to her, you know, I'm retiring soon, I'm not gonna have any money, so you should take the $75,000 while you can.
Yeah,
which is just not true.
Well, he might be retiring soon,
but he has plenty of money.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was just awful. Like, I don't know who I feel worse for, Chloe or this other woman. Like, to get pregnant and then literally have the man tell you, like, fuck off, here's some money. Like, that's so humiliating. And I just really hate this man. And I'm, like, embarrassed that I even ever went to bat for him. I just, like, when he was, like, chasing UFOs on Keeping Up, I'm like, oh, my God, this man is harmless. He's actually kind of weird. Like, what kind of shit could he possibly get into?
No, I'm so done. I have a feeling Chloe is so done as well. Like,
how many times is this?
I know. This is three.
It was Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
While she was pregnant. Then there was, like, that security footage of him, like, making out with a girl at a bar.
Jordan wasn't while she was pregnant. It was, the footage was while she, like, he was seen to be cheating on her when she was pregnant.
Then, oh, right.
At a later date was Jordan.
Got it.
And now this. And that's all we know about.
Right, right, right.
And so, honestly, I'm sure there's more.
Okay, he's...
Goodbye. I don't want to see him on Hulu. I'm
You
done.
Know what?
They were China'd, they were un-China'd, and now
I just want to say, you un-China'd them.
I did, because I believe in second, third chances.
I believe in 11th chances.
But this is just, this is too much, and he worked so hard, it seemed, to get back into, like, everyone's good graces, and this
right,
is
like,
what,
why was he trying so hard if he was still acting
and
out?
It's not like it was, like, okay, a year passed and he couldn't, you know, stop his player ways. Like, this happened back in March, like, when we were all rooting for him. Like, fuck you, goodbye.
No, totally. I'm officially putting you back in the China box. Sorry, you've been China'd.
Goodbye.
See ya.
Our next story, though, Kylie and Travis's W Magazine cover has leaked.
And it leaked in Toast After Dark. Did you see that?
Yes. So here's what I believe happened based on what I'm seeing, is that subscribers of W Magazine still got the magazine this month, but it won't be for sale anywhere. So you can't get it unless you had been a subscriber and it went to your house. So they stopped all the delivery trucks, you know, going to like the store.
Right.
And here and there, the pictures aren't online, but the pictures are in Toast After Dark.
And then like they got picked up on TikTok. Like it started in TAD. I just want to say, like, we are making news yet again.
Okay. So a lot about the magazine article, and I mean, I completely understand why they're trying to, you know, shut this down, but I have a few questions. First of all, we need to talk about the pictures.
Yeah.
Oh, you're making a face.
Yeah, they were like, meh.
Oh, my God. I think if circumstances had been different, these would be, like, the most iconic photos.
What?
They were giving me, like, Brad and Angelina and W Magazine vibes.
Oh, no. They were giving me, like, this is the set? It was giving me not much, honestly.
Oh, it was giving... She was giving me everything.
I mean, she walks out of the house and farts and it's everything. But I'm like, for a W Magazine photo shoot, a family, like, it was kind of giving nothing. Like, I think back to, like, when we had that first photo shoot of Kim, Kanye, and North in Vogue. And while the cover wasn't my favorite, that those inside photos were fucking sickening. Like, iconic. I was getting, like, muted colors and,
you know,
like...
it was very...
artsy.
Tumblr,
yes. But, like,
in a, you know... I just think that if these had come out at a different time, everyone would be living for them. We haven't seen, like, a peek behind the lens. There were so many pictures. They were so intimate. You know, he's listening to the belly. She's showing the belly. Stormy's everywhere.
But then, like, the article was also chock full of very bizarre information. Like, they are not a couple, and they haven't been a couple in over 2 years.
Right. But TMZ is reporting that they are very much a couple.
What?
Despite the W Magazine story. Yeah. They said... TMZ said sources with direct knowledge tell TMZ that Kylie and Travis are 100% together at the moment, meaning they're romantically involved and presumably exclusive too. Not just that, but TMZ was told that they were a full-blown couple when this whole profile was coming together for W Magazine,
what?
Which is weird. Then the next sentence, which is also weird, this is from TMZ, said the article slash accompanying shoot seems to have been whipped up in early November. Early November was when Astroworld happened. Astroworld happened like November 5th.
So are you telling me that Kylie and Travis used this W Magazine article to say they're not a couple so that Kylie wouldn't be attached to the Astroworld?
No. I don't know who's wrong, but
someone's got their facts twisted.
So, no, I don't think anything, but also I don't believe that this was whipped up in early November because
they would have.
That would mean even if it was whipped up November 1st, that they would have had 4 days and then they would have been like, unwhip it.
They could axe it, not this weird subscriber model.
Right. Like, to me, when I saw this, I was like, oh, this must have been done in October because it's so, you know, far removed from where they're at now. But then I was also thinking, I was trying to assess the belly and see where she might be at.
Mm, yeah, that's a good call.
You know, because the belly is a full belly. Like, so I don't know. I don't know. I'm confused.
I'm confused as well because them being not being a couple just like doesn't track for me. I'm like, it was really surprising to see that.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, otherwise, then why are they doing this whole shoot? Like,
I guess they're trying to like brand themselves as some sort of modern family. Like,
I guess, but like, if they're not a couple and Kylie's single, and she wants to get out there, what, like, who would want
to be attached to their ex-husband? Yeah, right. No, this is so weird, and I have more questions than ever.
100%.
More questions. I'm very confused.
Yeah.
They look nice, though. Stormy looks cute.
Yeah, I thought the pictures were really nice and the whole timing is unfortunate, but now apparently it's not that unfortunate.
And especially because TMZ is like literally the official spokespeople for the Kardashians.
Which is why I'm even giving this life.
I'm always inclined to listen to TMZ, especially as it pertains to the Kardashians. But this is just in direct conflict with an article Kylie and Travis sat down and spoke to W Magazine about. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm so confused.
No, they gave W Magazine a lot of time and a lot of energy.
Only for TMZ to debunk it in 35 seconds.
Right. And to say that they are together, which it's like if Kylie's trying to remove herself from the situation, then...
I don't know.
What was that? What does this serve?
I don't know.
So many questions, but...
None of them being answered.
No, but that's the latest with those two. Are you ready for our next story?
Sure.
Some surprising news that is surprising that I'm surprised.
Okay.
Vanderpump Rules stars Raquel and James end their engagement.
Surprising.
And I'm surprised that I'm surprised. Raquel and James Kennedy have called off their engagement. The Vanderpump Rules stars made the announcement via Instagram on Sunday with a joint statement and a selfie that appears to have been taken on the reunion stage.
Right.
They said, after these 5 wonderful years we had together, we decided we have 2 different goals and made the decision to call off the engagement. We love each other very much, but we aren't in love anymore. We want nothing but the best for each other, so please keep any thoughts positive.
This was really surprising. Like, yes, they are toxic and they have all their problems, But the one thing they've never wavered on is each other.
Yeah.
So I was just really, really surprised by this. And they filmed the reunion 2 days ago. And I had seen like a few rumors like that they broke up on the reunion or they announced it on the reunion. And I'm like, there's no way. And so I wasn't that surprised because I'd seen the rumors. But just conceptually, I think this is very shocking.
Very shocking. It feels like if there was ever a time to break up, it was during all the tumult of the last 5 years. But based on what we're seeing, like,
James in a great place.
Is in a great place. Raquel is like more self-assured than ever. And I mean, maybe that's eventually what leads to her seeking greener pastures, is like she's found her voice and like this isn't who she wants to be with anymore. But I thought that they were so sweet. Why does this always fucking happen to me? Like,
yeah, when you get on board.
When I get on board with a couple, like they let me down in such a way.
So the thing is that even though I really did like ship them, I think they were like, I think Raquel was good for James. I don't know if James was good for Raquel.
Well, I mean, I don't know that he's done some very questionable and said some very questionable things. But if you look at her journey over the last 5 years that we've known her, like she came on this show so
shy.
Incredibly shy, like, and she's really blossomed. And yeah. I have to believe that being in a relationship with James, like, allowed her. Sometimes, you know, if someone loves you so much, it makes you love yourself even more.
Yes, but I do think a lot of her blossoming probably had to do with James. I think it probably had to do with, like, coming into your own, becoming a full-time cast member, like, having your own platform, becoming, like, really famous, becoming really good friends with all those girls. I think it was a lot of things. I don't think James, like, gave her, like, the voice that she never had.
No, but, like, I think that if you're an incredibly shy person, but, yes, you get a job on the show and you're really famous, that might give you this, like, false sense of confidence. But that's not really real. But I feel like when you're not feeling totally sure of yourself, but someone, like, loves you so much and is, like, thinks you're everything of the sort, you start to see yourself the way that they see you. And so I just feel like it's a
I agree I'm
not
with
saying,
that.
I'm not saying James is an amazing partner. I just think her blossoming is a testament of a good relationship.
I agree with you, that concept, yes. Like, when someone loves you so much, it can really, like, change you. I don't really see, like, that was the case for James and Raquel. I just thought they were definitely, like, a decent couple. I don't think this is, like, the greatest love story of our generation. And I think, like, it's sad that it's over, but I actually think Raquel can do way better.
For sure. No, she's come into her own. I've become like a big fan of hers. And
me too. And I think it'll be nice for her to be with someone who's not like always like center of attention, dramatic. No wonder why she never had a voice. She was married to like a diva who had to be like the center of everything. And now she's like, no, what about me? And like, maybe she'll have a man who like worships her instead of someone she's like always running behind trying to catch up with.
Perhaps, but I don't think that's who she wants to be. Like,
or even equals. They were not equals.
No, but there is always, like, you know, the star in the relationship and then the person who's, like, supportive. And those roles also do happen to change mm-hmm. over time. But I'm not sure that she's looking to be, you know, she still is that, like, introverted girl. She's more confident. But, like, I think she's very to herself.
I think she is too, but I think being James's fiance is not an easy job because we see the best of it.
But I think the job just got easier is what I'm saying. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's been a hard job for the last 5 years, but like based on what we're seeing this season, I think the job is getting easier and easier. So
obviously not, because they broke up.
Well, we can speculate all we want. Hopefully at the reunion we'll find out.
I know
why
we didn't get any concrete answers. They were just like, we don't love each other
like
anymore.
Maybe someone just fucking cheated on someone.
Right.
You know?
What they said was like, we don't love each other anymore.
Right, so we shall see.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, I was surprised.
You know what, like, Pump Rules has been so atrocious, but there's been actually a lot going on off screen that's making, I think, a lot of, like, hype for the reunion, the La stuff, and now this.
Well, as we say, the worse the season is, the better the reunion is.
Yeah, and I do love some good off-air drama to stir the pot at a reunion.
Yeah, so that should be good, but, I mean, always sad.
Always sad when a ship breaks down and we have to reassemble the parts for someone else.
We have to get on lifeboats.
Yeah, we gotta take the dinghies back to shore. But I don't know. I actually think this could be the start of an exciting new adventure for Raquel, and I'm looking forward to it. Yeah. I'm sorry. Before we move on, today's episode is brought to you by Curology. Curology customizes a prescription formula with 3 active ingredients picked for you to help tackle your skincare needs, whether that's trying to take control of acne, fine lines, dark spots, occasional breakouts, or clogged pores. You start by answering questions online about your skin, and if it's a good fit, Curology will match you with a licensed dermatology provider who will get to know your skin, and subject to consultation, you'll get a customized prescription cream to be shipped straight to your door to address whether it's your acne, fine lines, dark spots, and more. I'm on like my second round of Curology, and I also brought it with me on tour. It's the sizes they give you have a lot of product in them, but they're really travel friendly. And I just think it's the most brilliant system. Like, I don't know why at some point, like, me and you would be using the same skincare. Like, we have different skin. So Curology, the consultation online is very in-depth. You send pictures of your skin. There's a lot of questions about, I did clogged pores and I also have dry skin, especially seasonally. So those are the things I wanted to tackle. But if you want to tackle like fine lines or you want to tackle acne, they will create a product distinctly made for your skin, which is great because your skin is different than everyone else's and you really shouldn't be having the same skincare as like your other friends. You can start your Curology journey just like we did with a 30-day free trial at Curology.com/toast. If prescribed, just pay $5 for shipping and handling. That's Curology.com/toast to unlock your free 30-day trial. Cancel anytime. Go get that glow at Curology.com/toast for that free 30-day trial.
Great. Okay, our next story. Real Housewives of New York star Ebony Williams storms the stage at a comedy show. Ebony stormed the stage at a comedy show 2 weeks ago in New York City after taking issue with comments made by comic Sam Bloomstone. In video footage shared on social media, the Real Housewives of New York City star is seen confronting him at Broadway Comedy Club after he referred to her as JCPenney Collection. Williams, clad in a black sweater, black pants, and leather boots, hopped up from her seat to grab Bloomstone's mic, at which point he asserted, "I put my life savings at whatever you are going to say is nothing funny." Completely unbothered by the remark, the Bravo celebrity told the crowd, "It's not about being funny, bitch. What it's about is you respecting a motherfucking black queen." The audience then erupted in cheers, prompting Williams to continue, "What we don't do is JCPenney, bitch, okay? A bitch like me, you gotta respect me, bro, on your worst day."
Okay, so I think I was extremely bothered by this story, and it really wasn't until I spoke to Heather McDonald that I got even more angry.
You spoke to her?
So I had texted her, like, okay, so I had seen this video. It happened a few weeks ago, but the guy posted the video on TikTok a few days ago, and it went crazy viral, because, I don't know, the concept of a heckler who then gets up on stage is so fucking insanely disrespectful and disgusting that, of course, it went viral. So she had the guy, the comedian, on her podcast, Heather McDonald. So I was like, LOL, and I sent her a screenshot. I'm like, oh man, I'm about to listen to this. And she called me. And I was like, I'm literally about to go on stage in Minneapolis. I'm like, I haven't had time to finish it, but like, I love that you have this guy. And I don't know what you said, but I'm sure you're right. Like, Heather was like, I'm so angry. Like, the video, if you've ever performed anything, like, and you saw, like, you have nothing but respect and sadness for this man. So I listened to his podcast with Heather. Heather was just like irate, so bothered. And this guy was like kind of a weenie. Like, I think he's new to stand up, and he like went out to dinner. He was like so mad when it happened, but then he went out to dinner with them. Ramona was there. Bronwyn was there. And then he's like, yeah, and I think I'm planning to do another show, and like, I'm gonna have Ebony come and do stand up. And Heather McDonald was just like, are you fucking kidding me? But just conceptually, like, first of all, so he explained what happened. He was doing a set.
By the way, are you sure Ramona was there?
Yes.
I don't think so.
They went out for dinner afterwards. I listened to the podcast. He said Ramona was there. And okay, Bronwyn. This article, oh, and Barbara Kay.
Barbara Kay was there. I saw her in the street the other day, like,
stomping down.
I was in a cab, so like, I couldn't say, hey, iconic. Barbara Kay. And Bronwyn and Bronwyn's new girlfriend. But I'm not seeing Ramona, but you say
he so. Said Bronwyn's new girlfriend wasn't there. So this article, like, obviously did not listen to Juicy Scoop. So he said that, like, they were being so fucking annoying, like, screaming. And he's, like, trying to get through his nine-minute set. He was obviously excited. Like, 9 minutes is a lot. And this table just, like, wouldn't shut the fuck up. So to shut them up, he said the JCPenney thing. Like, sit down, shut up.
Yeah.
He finally, like, addressed them. And I guess that just, like, gave Ebony this desire to storm the stage, take the microphone, and just go on and on, like, not being funny and talking about how, you know, you have to respect a black queen. And then on the podcast, the guy was like, I don't know why she said that. Like, I didn't even make my go-to black queen joke. That's what he said. He's like, I didn't say anything about, like, race. And I just, and then I think, like, he felt super uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And he went out for dinner with them afterwards. And, like, he said it was all fine. But, like, and Heather's right. Like, Heather wasn't letting it go. Like, because conceptually, like, to heckle someone, like, you seriously, like, should never be able to leave your house.
To be the annoying person at a comedy show who's, like, at the table, like, being annoying, and when this person is, like, doing stand-up, is just a bad trait in general. And usually the comic, like, will call you out. Say you're even, like, on your phone. Like, they will call you out. That's part of being at a comedy show. To then get up and, like, take the mic. If this was someone who was not famous whatsoever,
right,
like, it would be the loseriest thing of all. It's just not done. Like, and it is so disrespectful.
It's so disrespectful. Like, can I, first of all, and I don't want to jinx, but I have not been heckled because the toasters are just great. They, like, I'll be trying to get through a joke and they're just like wasted, like, Theo! Like, and you know what? And that's really positive, but it's so distracting. And I know they're not coming for me in a negative way, but I'm like, do you know how much I'm trying to remember right now? Like, and you throw Theo and then I get sad. I think about my son that I left at home. And so it happens to me in a positive way. They're just like screaming like Taylor Swift, like in the middle of no. And it's so distracting. So I can only imagine how earth shattering it is when someone's screaming something negative at you.
Right. And also, like, we know these women, they're
animals.
Extra, like, annoying.
Ramona, like, they have no self-awareness. They have no, they think that they're really like A-list. And, you know, in New York, and they are at these type of events, they are. So I loved that Heather like blew this up because it's abhorrent.
It's embarrassing.
It's abhorrent behavior. Like, if you've, imagine if you were so nervous to make your speech at Dana's rehearsal dinner. Mm-hmm. And imagine if someone was like, boo, you suck. Like, imagine how embarrassed you would be.
Yeah, and then I told them off and then they came up and took the mic.
Yeah, when you're like, just clearly you have a task to do, get through your speech. It's just, and if anyone listening to this podcast has ever heckled someone at a comedy show, I don't care who it is, like, just know in your soul, like, I literally despise you and I think you're the worst person on the planet. It's the worst top 10 thing you could do in this life. No, and
also, she gets on stage, she said it's not about being funny. You're at a comedy show. It's exactly about being funny.
And you know what? You weren't funny.
No.
When she got up. And now I think she's going to, like, launch into some sort of stand-up career, which really pissed Heather off. Yeah, so this comedian was like, I'm actually going to put together, like, another variety show and have Ebony do some minutes, which just, I think, like, Heather was like, okay, this interview's over.
I think
over.
This guy's trying to be a good sport.
I think this guy's trying to, like, make a moment out of this moment.
Yeah.
You know, when you're a comedian up and coming, I don't think you get a lot of viral moments like that.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, for the both of them, like, it's not, it's just a really, honestly, like, awkward and embarrassing clip. And mm-hmm. I think that he's trying to, like, turn it into a positive thing, which is cool.
Yeah.
But as, like, fans of Housewives and Ebony, this is, like,
it's just disappointing.
Really bad look.
You're a public figure. Like, you're supposed to, like, act like a role model. And this is the worst thing you could do ever in a comedy club. Like, it just bothers me a lot.
Yeah, I agree. Now, our fifth and final story, a little related news. Adele.
A little what?
It's related.
Oh.
Adele is talking about why she doesn't watch The Housewives.
I know.
She said, my brain will die. Adele, you are completely correct.
I just can't. What? Like, I'm sorry. Like,
Adele confessed that she's not a Real Housewives fan and that's not going to change anytime soon. She was getting her makeup done by Nikki Tutorials on YouTube.
I need to watch the whole video.
Yeah. She said, I know a lot of people love it, but I can't. My brain will die. I can't. She added, I don't know who any of them are, so I don't feel like I can start from the beginning when it's been on for so long. That's fair. She also said that, like Nikki said, that the shows are binge-worthy, but the singer rejected the idea, saying, I'm not going to lie, it doesn't work for me. She said that she gave The Real Housewives of New Jersey a shot, but the arguments were a tad too intense for her liking. She said, one time I did watch one episode of The Real Housewives of New Jersey when they were all, like, literally killing each other, but it was too much. I was like, I can't watch. She said she would rather watch a wildlife program. She prefers programs that are a bit more educational, and she's not interested in reality TV in general.
Okay, like, that's fine.
And when asked about Love Island, she said, I can't bear that show.
Okay, I just want to say, not everyone has to watch reality TV. That's not what I'm saying. But I just think people who take, like, a moral high ground on it, like, you're not better because you listen to David Attenborough and I listen to Luann de Lesseps. Like, I hate when people, like, just, like, look down on reality TV. Because you know what? A lot of it is trash, but I like a lot of it. And I just hate when people think they're, like, too good for it.
I don't think that she's, like, looking down on anything.
I prefer more education.
I think she was asked a question, and then she's talking about the kind of TV that she does like to watch.
It sounded condescending.
She was asked a question, and that's the truth. It makes her brain go numb. I know the feeling. And I'm a real, and I watch every single, I've seen literally every single episode. And it's mind-numbing stuff.
I didn't like it.
Only has a certain amount of time on her hands, but, like, her best friend Jennifer Lawrence loves it. You know, it's not.
I feel like she has actually a good amount of time on her hands.
No, I mean, it depends. I think it depends on the year.
Yeah, of course. I think she's had a lot of time the last 6 years. Now, yes, the last 6 months, maybe not so much.
Right. So it's not like she looks down on people who love it. J Law loves it. That's her BFF.
It bothered me.
I actually felt like, yes. Can someone please say this? Because, like, it's true.
No, but everyone says it. Like, that's the overwhelming. not consensus in our country. Like, reality TV is like trash. But it's like, some of us like it. Fuck off. Like, what if I said, you know, Ozark was trash, you know?
It's true that everyone says that, but then you look at the numbers and it's like, these housewives get more
viewers than Instagram like followers.
CNN primetime.
100%.
So, it's the like, we're all watching it.
Yeah.
So, and maybe because we're just so in this world and like everyone that like we know, or like just in the toaster world, like reality TV is like
the Bible.
Golden.
Yeah.
So for me, I'm coming at it from a place of, you know, it's not as good as we say that it is.
Well, that's true. But I just feel like overwhelming, like in our country, the sentiment is like reality TV is trash. Like people who watch it are dumb. And it's like, fuck off. Some of us just like it and it's like not that serious.
But I think people who say that like unprompted out of nowhere, you know, like the way that they talk about the Kardashians too, when it's like nobody fucking asked and like you go try and make $1 billion business for each one of your siblings. Yeah. Like, go, let's see how you're doing.
Yep.
That does bother me.
That bothers me a lot.
But this just, it felt like they were just talking about like TV in general, and Adele just shared her opinion. Like, I don't feel like, you know, she was being one of those people.
Do you feel like, you know, Adele's been very selective with her press. We were talking about that guy who didn't do the assignment for his interview in Australia. She did Oprah. She did these like two concerts. And then, like, this random YouTube video.
Well, no, I've been seeing some other stuff, too. She did, like, a Apple Music interview with John Mayer.
Oh, I saw that. Sirius, yeah.
Yeah, she's been doing some, like, Zoom interviews type things. And then I'm sure she's also trying to, like, do some new age stuff.
Yeah, and I guess, like, Nikki Tutorials is really, like, a global.
Yeah, I'm surprised she hasn't popped on to, like, Armchair Expert yet, or, like, Joe Rogan.
Oh, totally.
She should do one podcast.
Yes. Armchair Expert's a good one. I don't think she would do Joe Rogan.
I mean, I think Joe Rogan would be so great, but I feel like she would be
better suited.
She probably like also has met Dax Shepard and Kristen Bell, and like that would just make sense.
You know what she could do? The Morning Toast.
She could, but she wouldn't.
But I think those girls are a little booked and busy.
Yeah. Well, I would love to see her do a podcast. There are so many like that do celebrity, like Conan is always.
Yeah. And honestly, it doesn't need to be the biggest podcast, because whatever podcast Adele sits down on will become the biggest podcast.
Marc Maron. He gets some big guests.
Yeah.
So
she should do it. I agree.
Give us one.
The Morning Toast. That'd be so crazy.
No, I would love if I could choose, I would say Joe Rogan.
If I could choose, I would ask for one with a video component. So I guess I would do Joe Rogan as well, because I prefer to watch than listen if I can. Those were the Fast Five stories. I feel as though you needed to know them. Definitely.
Yeah, 100%.
And we're not done, because we've got the TV recap. What should we start with? Salt Lake City?
Yes. And I just need to go grab my heartburn medication.
Oh, live your life. I'll do the ad. Today's episode is brought to you by Mrs. Fields. This holiday season, we want to give each person we care about a gift that'll bring them joy, right? Now there's one place we can find that perfect gift for everyone on your list: Mrs. Fields cookies. Who doesn't love fresh from the oven, melt in your mouth cookies? Mrs. Fields has a tasty treat package for everyone on your list, and it's a feel-good giving at its best. Okay, I've been like head over heels in love with Mrs. Fields herself for many years. Like, I've had gorgeous moments biting into a cookie at a mall. But this gift box we got,
you guys,
that sat in our studio for 30 seconds before it got completely eaten was so delicious. And I hadn't had any of those treats before, those sugar cookies with the frosting. Such a special box of cookies that we have to share.
It was so special. Nobody does a gift like Mrs. Fields. Also, some Jordan almonds that do not break your teeth. They melted in your mouth. It was heaven on earth.
And it came in this like gorgeous package.
This three-tiered little Christmassy.
It looked like a cake, like with ribbons. It was just gorgeous, gorgeous. So obviously you should get one for yourself, because the cookies were so good.
But
it's a perfect gift.
It's a perfect gift.
To bring to someone's house for Christmas.
If you're just like sending someone something that you can't see because they're a long distance, like, it will make someone feel so special, and they will also eat every last bite.
And it's partially decor. Like, if you put it under your tree or on like a mantle, it looks like a mini Christmas tree. It's really cute. So you can get it for grandparents, parents, kids, friends, coworkers. There's something that will thrill any person of any age. For over 40 years, Mrs. Fields has perfected fresh-baked gourmet treats. Every cookie, cake, confection, every bite is so yummy. You can choose from a huge selection of holiday gift baskets, cookie tins. Oh, I love a cookie tin. And the most fun creative packaging anywhere, like the snowman and the polar bear towers, which are designed to delight. And if you want to get 20% off everything site-wide, go to mrsfields.com/toast. That's right. That's mrsfields.com/toast. 20% off everything when you visit MrsFields.com/toast. MrsFields.com/toast.
Wonderful.
Let's do TV recap. Salt Lake City Housewives was a very frustrating episode because we're getting so sidetracked with this Mary nonsense.
I don't know why Jen going to prison has turned into a referendum on Mary. Like, we need to look at everyone's finances and everyone's businesses and everything that everyone else has said. Like, why can't we just have this moment to, like,
talk about this one thing?
We need to
compartmentalize,
break down what's going on with Jen and, like, where we all stand as her friend and as viewers in the show. Like, what? And instead it's like, no, now let's bring up everything everyone's ever said about Mary. I was so...
And their logic makes no sense. Heather was like, well, we knew stuff about Jen, so, and we didn't say anything. And now we know stuff about Mary, so we have should learn from our lesson from Jen. I'm not understanding
and
the logic.
And just because, like, there's stuff said about that, like, someone and one person went to jail doesn't mean, like, everybody's engaged in criminal activity. Like, okay, maybe at worst, like, Mary is...
unethical,
influencing her congregation in a way that is a little unsavory, but that doesn't get you sent to prison.
No.
Does it?
No. So here's where I landed with the episode. I was making a lot of progress on Lisa Barlow, but like, she was two-faced. Like, she literally started the fire of Mary Cosby. She got up from that conversation because people weren't going hard enough on Mary Cosby. And then she goes down and is so fucking shady, like, with the presence. It's weird.
No, I have been finding myself defending her all season long and, like, just trying to understand where she might be coming from. And when she did that, I was like, goodbye. I seriously can't. But then it's like, then
Mary doesn't care.
No, but then it's like, then Whitney accuses her of, like, masterminding this whole thing. And I don't think Whitney's on the money with her accusations either. And I'm like, no, I don't think Lisa did all that. But, like, she's definitely guilty of some shit, but not what you're saying. So I really can't agree with anyone. And I now realize that Lisa invited Whitney to Fresh Wolf.
Obviously.
To get, like, Cameron to talk to her.
By the way, do you know that Cameron is dead?
Has passed away. Yes, which makes this even, like,
weirder.
Sadder.
Spooky.
And just to be, like, all talking about this man and he's, like, the center of the drama and now
he's passed away.
It's, like, so incredibly sad.
Yeah.
And I don't even think the women realized that a month ago, Lisa filmed with Cameron and got his story on the show. So she is trying.
She is behind this. She's pulling the strings on this whole Mary thing.
Yes. I don't know. Whitney thinks it's, like, to come between Whitney and Mary.
And it's not.
And I don't know if it's that.
But we can't expect Whitney to really understand what's going on because I don't even understand what's going on with Lisa. Like, how she can wake up and be so two-faced and then, like, be so righteous about it, too. Like, it's mind-blowing. But, because I find this Mary stuff to be so stupid, but I do feel like, yes, last night's episode, like, really showed Mary's true colors. And I'm sorry, when she called Heather chubby, like, I draw the line, like, I officially hate Mary Cosby. And then she said, like, a really weird, talking about, like, Mexican thugs. Mm-hmm. She was off her fucking rocker. God is in her butt. She's just delusional. And I'm sorry, like, whether her church is savory or not, a quote-unquote woman of God doesn't call another woman chubby, doesn't make, like, racial things about Mexicans. Like, I cannot stand with Mary anymore. I think she's awful.
I agree. And but I all like I felt like half the time I was like I felt just only defensive of Mary just because it's like this isn't Mary's time. These things have been said for so long and now all of a sudden we're gonna bring them up overnight. But then the way that she defended herself, I was just like, nope, can't be on your side either.
Yeah.
I was like, Lisa, can't be on your side. And
I was on team Weather.
So Whitney and Heather, they just like get a little like,
dramatic.
Yeah, and Whitney like then goes into like baby talking voice and is like, Lisa, you don't like me. And I'm like, you're not my girl.
And you could have went home on the plane.
No, I would have done the exact same thing. The only thing I would have done differently is I wouldn't have let them leave me on the stoop like that and then they're going to their PJ. I like find your fucking Valentino bag
get an
faster.
Uber.
Get an Uber and go sit at the airport and go be out of sight, out of mind.
But let me tell you why things are just confusing to me here, because we're still really not clear on what Mary did, and Heather's just like writing Mary off completely, like not wanting to be associated with her. But Heather is also probably the only one left in real time now who's like standing with Jen and like saying that she needs a friend right now and she's going to be that friend for her. And that's what's confusing to me. Like, you have moral superiority, like, depending on the person.
No, I totally agree. Knowing where Heather stands now made everything she said last night like even
but I don't think
more
we can
bizarre.
Watch like that. Like, we need to just watch episode by episode, because as of last night, I was definitely on team Whitney and Heather. And you know what? Lisa is really bringing Meredith down. Like, because you know what? I actually thought Meredith's apology to
I understood
Mary
exactly
was,
where Meredith was
of
coming
course
from.
She felt like she started it.
Yeah, and like she shouldn't have said, like, she, this all happened to her last season, and at first I, like, wasn't understanding if Meredith, like, wants to explore Mary stuff, and I thought Jenny was so also off the mark when she was like, you don't talk about your friends behind their back, but you hired a private investigator.
She stole from her store.
Wait, but I don't think hiring a private investigator is, like, talking behind someone's back. Like, that's just, like, facts.
No, Jenny's, like, sorry, useless. And she's, like, kind of spineless, and she just, like, follows Lisa.
Yeah, no, I was just like, that's your takeaway from here? That, like, comparing it to her hiring a private investigator when, like, they're... It's just, like, no, irrelevant.
And
look,
and Jen literally was...
It was the messiest episode of anything I've ever seen in my whole life. And, of course,
And we're getting off track.
I mostly stand with Meredith because I think she is the most sensible in general. But when it comes to all of this, I'm just like, who, what? I have no allegiances anymore. I really felt like we were getting somewhere. Yeah. And now we're getting nowhere. But I agree. Like, I'm out on Mary. I'm halfway out on Lisa. I'm going to give her, like, next episode just to try and understand.
Yeah.
And halfway out on Whitney. And Heather really is just coming off all wrong.
I know.
This season.
She's just, like, a little all over the place. Like, she has no, like, values. Like, she
she's just, yeah, she just flips so hard in such extreme ways. Even in, like, the stuff with her sister, like, and her previous life. Like, when she was a Mormon and she went so hard for Mormonism and, like, and cut out everyone
around.
She's
an extremist.
She's, like, an extremist.
She just goes so hard in the moment for whatever it is that she's feeling. And the next day it can be completely different.
Yeah, but it's, like, take your time.
Relax. Yeah.
Relax. Like, and not everything needs to be so extreme.
No, it was extremely messy. But my biggest takeaway from the episode was, like, Mary's awful. Like, I can't with her. Like, it was funny for a while, but she's actually, like, an awful person.
No, Mary's awful. And all I could think about was, like, when she says little girl.
Little girl.
And then
so leave, like, little girl.
Miss Hannigan. Little girl.
Oh my god, she's Miss Hannigan, Jackie.
She's Miss Hannigan. No, and I can't even say little girl anymore, which is really
little
fresh.
Girl.
But I'll be like, little girl.
So it was, like, honestly a really dumb, boring episode because I was like, where is Jen? Like, this is so stupid. If we didn't have this fight, they would have been back in from Vail by now.
Yeah. And we're getting so sidetracked.
Yeah. But I have to tell you that, okay, so after my show in Toronto, I went to Simon and Phil's wedding. So I went to the wedding in LA and they had another small wedding in Toronto. Simon's Canadian. It was just, like, crazy coincidence. And I got, like, really, really drunk. And then on my way out, like, someone was smoking a joint and I was like, okay, like, I don't really smoke a lot of pot. I was so high. I got home and I started watching Coming Out Colton. Jackie, when I tell you, I was sobbing. Like, because, you know, when, like, all my inhibitions of, like, hating Colton and, like, all the things that, like, I know about him, my guard was down. I was crying. But I did. This is what I want to say. I only watched.
Did you watch any of it sober?
No. I didn't. And I watched, like, the first two episodes where he just is, like, basically coming out to everyone. And I do feel like it's bizarre that, like, he's, like, having these conversations, like, with his parents.
And a camera crew. Yeah.
Like, there were certain people, okay, like, his best friend from home, whatever, this girl, sure, film it. But, like, your dad? Very weird. Like, it's giving Thirst Monster. Like, it's really bizarre.
It's insanely Thirst Monster. I watched the trailer, and I'm not going to lie, it did look very compelling.
Yeah, you know, like, I hate Colton. Like, he aggressively stalked his ex-girlfriend, put a tracking device on his car. And I don't think that, like, coming out is an excuse for bad behavior because it's just not. But the stuff that he's gone through as a person who's struggling with their sexuality, like, he did say he did try to kill himself. Like, it was moving. I'm sorry. Like, it really was. And I know everyone hates him. It was moving.
I can imagine the show is moving. And I think he addresses a lot of the Cassie stuff.
He tries to go head on, but, like, people just are not happy.
No, but no one even wants to give him that chance. And, like, he shouldn't have this platform, this show on Netflix. So that, mind you,
everyone,
it's like, you know, the other people get Freeform and Colton's on Netflix and he's, like,
and
he's the one who's committing crimes against his ex. Like, I understand the outrage. I feel like maybe if people watch the show, which I didn't, but I found the trailer to be very compelling and long. So I feel like I was there.
Yeah.
Then maybe they would turn a corner on him a little bit, but I don't think anybody wants
No one's giving him the corner to turn.
No one's interested in giving out corners.
No, but I did watch also Love Hard. So I watched the whole thing and then I had 20 minutes left when I got back from the wedding and I was really high and I don't really remember how it happens, but spoiler alert.
It's not that big of a spoiler.
Oh my God, I almost called her Victoria Justice. They look so much alike. Her, Nina Dobrev and that guy ended up together, which, like, what? They didn't even have any romantic connection. Like, he obviously liked her, but she, like, didn't even see him. I thought the movie was great. Let me say a few things. They really...
When she sees him on the dating app at the end, when he's like made his profile, that's when a tear came to my eye.
That was really sweet. And I forgot about that.
Oh my God, I was literally like chills.
He was such a cutie.
No, and honestly, he was too good for her.
Couldn't agree more.
Too good for her. So smart.
She was the worst.
She was the worst. So fucking shallow.
Shallow. Like when she was just going, running around town like a big dope, trying to make herself cool for Paxton Hall Yoshida. He's from... The guy who plays the cute one.
Tag.
Tag is from... His name is Paxton Hall Yoshida in some other TV show.
Oh, okay.
That's why I called him that.
I never saw him before. So I thought that was his real name.
He's super cute. I was like, this girl's the biggest loser I've ever met in my life. Like the ice luging and the rock climbing. I'm like, her character was the biggest loser. Like,
she was physically catfished by Josh and now she's emotionally catfishing Tag. Like, when will this girl learn? And she's also a dating expert. No thanks.
Yeah.
Keep your advice to yourself.
But... I have a bone to pick with Netflix because they really teased Heather in that fucking trailer. She was hands down the best part of the movie. When she's pouring scotch into her mug and then her phone rings, she's like, oh, honey, I gotta go. It's my sponsor. She was so good.
She was so good.
And we got nothing from her. Like, we needed more.
No, she needed to fly out to Lake Placid.
Yes.
Or even at the end for the engagement party.
Yes.
Wrap it up. I agree. It wasn't enough. And in the trailer, like, they're showing you the setup for the movie. And so, like, the best friend is very much a part of the setup.
Mm-hmm.
But then it just wasn't enough, Heather, considering she was so funny.
A star.
A star.
Like, you know what? She was giving me Tiffany Haddish in Girls Trip, where it was, like, this random movie that launched her career. Like, Heather was so funny. Like, I just loved seeing her act. I've never seen her act before.
Me too.
So the movie was, and I guess I didn't put together that the movie's called Love Hard because, like, Love Actually, Die Hard.
Yep.
Stupid. So there were things about it I liked, things about it I didn't like, just Nina Dobrev in general. But it was cute. I didn't think they really should have ended up together, though. They had no chemistry.
Yeah, that's what Olivia said when we watched it. But she thought, like, someone else was going to come out of the...
I was like, who is the winner here? Like, I couldn't...
No, I figured...
You know what? She really needed to work on herself.
She did. I figured that they would end up together, but I thought he was way too good for her.
Agreed.
And that he could do so much better.
But you're right. When his profile came up and he had, like, his smile and he took his glasses off, I was crying. That was so cute.
And he had, like, answered to the questions and he was just, like, being himself.
He was so cute.
Honestly, like, he needed to leave this toxic woman behind him.
Yeah. They're not going to go far as a couple.
Yeah. But it was a good movie.
It was
but also,
cute.
Didn't it make you think of the idea of catfishing differently?
Yes, it's because like there was no reason. He was such a nice guy. Okay, so you trust this guy enough to stay in his basement with him, but like you're not going to give him a chance. Why? Because he's not your traditional like hunk. You're shallow.
No, and it's like you guys had such a good connection. You connected on so many levels, and even like by day two or three, like you guys are laughing at the same things. It's very clear that like you have this.
You got over it.
Emotional connection. Why so shallow?
Shallow Hal.
Shallow Nina.
We need a Shallow Hal, like, remake. Even though maybe it's just perfect the way it is.
So, I don't know. It just made me think of, like, Neve and the whole catfish and never differently. I'm like,
yeah.
Why can't you guys just love each other blind?
Right. No, that's true. I see that for
makes
you.
Makes you think.
So, yeah, that's the TV recap, right? Anything else?
That is. No, I've just been reading most of the weekend. I didn't. Oh, I finished. I caught up on Dynasty.
Oh, wow. I'm like,
I just needed, like, a moose boosh, like some good looks, and it's such a good show to just like fall asleep to. And this season was crazier than ever, and the way that it ended was just shocking. I'm not going to give away any spoilers.
That's so Dynasty.
It's so Dynasty, but it's just like so funny.
It's like a gorgeous show to watch
it's
too.
It's a gorgeous show to watch, and I mean, Fallon and Liam do stumble upon some hard times.
Oof,
and like
I'm over that.
They're like, the backbone of this show, and so that cuts me to the core.
Yeah.
And I just feel like they're so perfect for each other that like the narrative doesn't work in a way where like they don't end up together.
Good. I hate when they do that shit. Like,
but they definitely go through it, but it's okay. I think it will turn out fine.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So that is our show.
Our show.
No, ours. Thank you so much for listening to The Morning Toast, the Millennial Morning Show, where we deliver the fast five stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching this on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So it's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places where you listen to podcasts. Find us, Morning Toast, leave a 5-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and smart we are. And if you made it to the end of this episode, I'm sorry, we've been forgetting to do the emojis like
so
all
rushed.
Week. We've been so rushed. But I think today we should put the emoji of the heart on fire in honor of Jackie's heartburn.
Okay.
How's that?
Claudia, that's beautiful.
Thank you guys. We love you. We'll see you tomorrow.
Bye.